In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, the SBC title games are here. Trinity Valley has a shot to defend their title against Houston Christian, the third straight iteration of Kincaid versus Episcopal. The Buttons try and cripple the Apaches in some Taps D1 action. Dallas Shelton has a shot to cap off an insane season, and TWCA and Fort Bend Christian will decide Second Baptist's fate. All this and more in the Week 11 preview of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to another, I guess, special election night preview of the Texas Private School Podcast. It will hopefully be decided once this comes out, but we're recording on Tuesday night as the fate of our great nation hangs in the balance. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder joined me from College Station and Oklahoma City, respectively, but we have a guest that you all should know by this point, his second time on the program this season, third if you count the SBC preview. The preview doesn't even be needed. Jack Klosek, SBC analyst, hardest working man in SBC football. Jack, thank you yet again for coming back on. There'd be no reason not to have you for the biggest week of SBC ball of the season. Number one, how are you doing up in New York? Number two, thoughts on an incredible week of the SBC championships?
Yeah, just got back from my home state of Texas. We had fall break. So that was very nice seeing family and such, seeing my brothers, doing my constitutional duty and voting. And I hope all of you listening did your duty, no matter who you voted for, and got out and voted. It's extremely important. But that aside, super excited for the third straight iteration of Kincaid and Episcopal from University of Houston. And we have the second straight iteration of Houston Christian and Trinity Valley. We also have some fun Taps matchups coming up. Last week was super, super exciting. I know the recap episode you guys has already dropped, but, you know, Kincaid got it done against St. John's, and St. John's still hasn't beaten Kincaid since 2012, and Oak Ridge played spoiler against Green Hill. So should be a great week. Always grateful to be on the program. And, you know, looking forward to a great, great podcast, guys.
Absolutely. We always strive to make it a great one. Walker Lott, let's make this podcast great again. What say you?
That's good. You know, as I also did my constitutional right, I went and voted for No Context TXPS as my write-in voter. Truly, who should run the nation, of course, and hopefully all of y'all did the same and wrote in non-context. That is the most political I will get on this podcast. But yeah, if you ever see me look at this, I have YouTube open to see how it's going. But I didn't think we would ever do this during election night, but here we are. Should be fun. I'm excited, and also, you know, there's a lot of big time news out there. There's also big time news of how championships will happen this coming week. So very, very excited.
So Walker Lott, you know, the last election cycle, we were approximately 1 month away from starting this podcast.
Now that is crazy.
I feel like that makes it a long, that feels like a long time.
I was a junior in high school.
That's a long time. Wow.
I was 16.
Father Time is undefeated. However, Ryan Schroeder is not, wow, with some losses in the pick record. Still leading the pick record. That's the best I could come up with off the top of my head. Ryan Schroeder, leader of the pick record. Hopefully another endorser of No Context TXPS for president. How are you, my friend?
There's an election going on? I had no idea. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's funny. I feel bad for Jack's case, because of course I was like, yeah, I have a Thunder game this night, this night, this night. I was like, the only night I have available actually is election night. I was like, I'm so sorry, but that's all I have. So appreciate everyone, all three of y'all, being able to come on tonight as we're ready to preview some pretty important games for the season.
Absolutely, and that we will do. However, before that, I said this in the last episode, and I'm going to do it. We played Jordan Manuel's post corner, which was a beautiful catch that won the game for Kincaid. Right. And I said on the episode, on the recap, that I think I ran a better post corner in high school, and I have video evidence of. And I'm going to share that right now, and we're going to decide. Maybe better. Yeah, it's a bit grand. You'll have to deal with that. I'm here playing receiver on the outside. This poor man is the man playing corner, and we will let it run. Just keep an eye on this side of the screen.
Oh
He
wow.
did the stinky leg.
He did do the
And well, you
stanky
gotta
leg.
watch the celebration. You gotta watch the celebration. Watch the Euro.
Ooh.
I mean, that's clean. I mean,
That
we gotta.
that's effective. I'm very impressed. Let me see that again. Let me see it again.
We're gonna run in slow-mo. See, I run the corner. I run the post right here. He
Right,
gets his hips
boom.
flipped, and then he does. Just watch him. He does the stanky leg. You're not
Oh
supposed to be
yeah.
in that
No,
position.
I
No,
can
you
see
shouldn't
all that
be.
in 240p. You're right. I could see just about all of it
Yeah,
right there. Yep.
HD
We'll
did
let
not
the
make it to Tyler at this
we'll
point.
let the Euro run one more time, and there we go.
Okay,
Who is this against?
yeah,
This was against
exactly.
Wills Point.
School of the Blind. School of the Blind is actually the
It
name of the
was
school.
against Wills Point. That corner was really bad. And to be fair, I do have the actual HD version of that from the broadcast, but it has no sound, and I don't know if the sound even came through on that.
Nope.
But
I
you
didn't see
okay?
any. I didn't
Well,
hear any sound.
the point of me playing the sound was the broadcasters go, "Oh, Wes broke that kid's ankles," but now there was no reason for me to show y'all the garbage version of it. That being said, I did play football. I have to throw a highlight in here or there because there I have like three of them throughout high school. So now you've seen one of three. But that being said, gentlemen, this is not a Wes Tolleson Glory Days podcast. This is the Texas Private School podcast, and we will kick that off by previewing Antonian at Central Catholic. Antonian is a 5.5 point favorite in this TAPS D1 matchup. Antonian has the district title locked up. Central is currently in fourth place, and they will remain there regardless of outcome, providing that St. Thomas beats TMI, which is all but a given, but crazy things happen. The usual suspects are still performing for the Buttons of Central. Now, senior Garrett Tyser has compiled 21 touchdowns on the year, 8 of which have been thrown to junior Jack Hall, and 7, by the way, of senior Jeremy Birch. And the Buttons have some standout pieces defensively as well, namely Travis Dyla at defensive end and sophomore Matthew Hernandez and junior Avon Houston, combining for 7 interceptions in that back end. Turning the page to the Apaches, this offense is led by standout sophomore quarterback Rogan Parson, who we have raved about, UTSA offered, and senior wide receiver Preston Jones. Parson has thrown for 27 touchdowns, 12 apiece to Jones and Adam Bernal. And of course, you still have workhorse Mikey Moreno chugging along to the tune of 150 rushing yards per game. You add Salvatore, Wyatt, and Carr in the trenches, and I just don't see how Antonian loses this game. I really discounted the Apaches following that loss to Holy Cross, but at that point, I didn't realize just how good Holy Cross was. This Antonian offense is insanely well-rounded between Parsons and then his receivers, Hall and Birch, and then Mikey Moreno, who is probably the best returning player from this team. I'm going to take Antonian. I'm not going to think that hard about it. I think 5.5 is a little bit of a low spread. If it was legal to bet on private school games, I'd take Antonian to cover that number, but I am a man of character, so I will not wager on this game. Walker Lott, I'm taking Antonian. You're the only one in the program that has seen both these teams live. I'm curious to hear your perspective.
Yeah, no, this is a massive rivalry in San Antonio, of course. So we will have hopefully two intern Jacob Bermudez and Allie Meyer, who's done some of the photography for us over the year or over this past year, at that game to go cover that game. So very excited about that. But yeah, this is a big rivalry. I don't know how it is compared to Central Catholic Holy Cross. But I do think this is a massive game. And so maybe I agree with you that the 5.5 might be a little bit low, but in a rivalry game, anything can happen, right? And I do think Central is playing good ball recently, but I think Antonio's playing way more good ball recently. And so give me the Apaches in this one. When I saw them against Regents, and we know how good Regents is, and so Regents won big, but I told all of y'all, and I said it on the podcast, that they just hadn't clicked. Like, they were there, you see what they were doing, it just hadn't clicked, and they find it. They found it and they clicked, and now they are on fire right now, winning that district. We didn't really think that they could before the season. We kind of had thoughts, but they absolutely have won it wholeheartedly this time. And The offensive line is great. Mikey Marino is that dude. We've said it for years. And when you have Rogan Parson in an offense of this firepower, man, it's hard to stop. So even though I do like Garrett Tyser back doing good, give me Rogan Parson and the Apaches.
There we go. Ryan Schroeder, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think Antonian is obviously, has really kind of shocked people in some capacity from what they've been able to do in that district, right? I think they were definitely in that top two, top three conversation the entire time, but for them to win the district was definitely not maybe in the cards off rip, but now you look at it, and I think Central is probably had a great season this year. There's been a lot of shake up in all of the D1 South, but in this game as well, I also have Antonian. I think it's just, we've seen this play out this year. We've seen Antonian go through everybody else. I think Antonian gets it done against Central as well.
Jack Klosek, I don't like when three of us are on the same side of a game, let alone four. Your thoughts regarding this game?
Yeah, so I take a little bit of a different approach. Obviously, I focus primarily on SBC, as you guys know, but I keep a pick sheet. And I have a kind of very, a methodology that I use, and I'm going to use my picks because I've already picked this game. We're going to make it a four all across the board. I'm going to take Antonian. I focus a lot on schedules and results because that kind of gives me the best lens because I'm not as familiar with the players as you guys. Obviously, some of those names, you guys have talked about ad nauseum, and Rogan, for example, has had a tremendous season. At the same time, if you look at kind of the schedules that the two of them have played, Antonian has played excellent in district play. Maybe, they've kept it a little close against Concordia Lutheran. And then the two teams that they've lost to, Holy Cross, probably D3 favorites, if not going to make it to a title game. And then Regents, who probably make it to a title game in D2. Outside of that, they've taken care of everything. Central Catholic, has lost to St. Thomas. They lost to St. Michael's, or I don't know if I can say it, but I'm going to say St. Migos because I keep hearing that.
Yeah.
And I just think that I think Antonian will get it done. They've done a great job over the past couple of years. They've beaten really good St. Thomas teams, and have won that district. They've got district locked up. I think they'll take care of it. Rivalry games mean more. It'll be a tough uphill battle for them going against the North, but I think they should lock this one up this week.
I think so. This game, I think, will tell us a lot how Antonian should be forecasted to perform in the playoffs, because there's always that it's the mantra that the South is always much weaker than the North. Not just a mantra, it's kind of a statistical fact at this point. But I think if Antonian takes Central to the woodshed, I think we'd be looking at a team that could shake some things up in the playoffs. And I'm not saying they're going to be on a Prestonwood Parish Liberty level, but you could definitely see them easily hurdle some of the teams below them. We will see. We never know until we get there. Let us move down two divisions to Division Three with two teams. We've previewed Covenant before. I can confidently say we've never previewed Dallas Shelton on an episode, and I'm tickled to death to do it. Dallas Shelton at Dallas Covenant. Dallas Covenant is a 27.5 point favorite. This game will ultimately be for second place in Division Three, District Two, otherwise known as the district that Dallas Christian plays in and dominates. And this is impressive, because this is a Shelton team that had to drop to independent last season because they have been that bad in prior years. In terms of the game itself, Shelton's preview can be summed up by the words Taylor Ogden. The 6'2", 190 running back is averaging over 220 rushing yards per game and a staggering 32, I'll say it again, 32 touchdowns on the
Wow.
young season. Not young, old season at this point, but you understand what I'm saying. Shelton, quite frankly, has destroyed all of their opponents not located in Mesquite with an average district margin of victory of 42 points. Junior Owen Myers has also been a stud defensively, racking up five interceptions thus far. Looking at Dallas Christian or Dallas Covenant, the Knights have had an identical district performance in terms of wins as Shelton, also outscoring their opponents by 42 points. However, for me, the differentiator is this Dallas Christian game, where Shelton lost by 56, Covenant was within 11 points. And in a game this close, that's enough information for me to take Covenant. We don't have a lot of stats regarding Covenant in terms of players and stuff, which is Max Prep is the main thing we use. They don't upload a lot of stuff there. However, like I said, in a game that I think is this close from, a district win standpoint, and the only thing we have to go off of is the performance against DC. Yeah, that might not be the single game a greatest metric because crazy things happen on an individual game basis. But if one team loses by 56 and the other keeps it within 11 of a team that has far and away been the favorite in the last 5 years in their division, I'm going to take Dallas Covenant. I think they have a really good chance to win here. And ultimately, DC's got this district locked up. This is for second place, but second place is important in terms of playoff seeding. Both teams will come with something to prove. I just think Covenant might be more well prepared to prove it. Walker Lott, Dallas Shelton, Dallas Covenant, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm very happy we finally got to cover some of the D3 teams when it was definitely a division that we haven't been able to cover a lot this year. So I'm very glad to do this, especially in this district. I'm going to pick Dallas Covenant as well. A guy you didn't even mention, Wes, Ben Golick from last year was a guy I remember who was a 25 and is a big time dude for them at running back, DB, slot, you know how it is. He was one of the top rushers in DFW this year. I know they have quarterback Leighton Horn is over there as well. I think he's the 25. I like this team. I like they're really good, and definitely that win or that close loss to Dallas Christian was crazy. And other big wins over Gorman, Tyler All Saints, McKinney. I think they're good wins. I just like this. So give me the Knights, I think, the Covenant
Yes, the
Knights.
Knights. Yeah, any win over a Tyler school is certainly a big win. Ryan Schroeder, this game, interesting. I'm curious to hear your opinions.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is that, like I said, the Dallas Christian game was close, right? 24-13 is close. Holding Dallas Christian offense to 24 points is nothing to scoff at. Obviously the losses on there are two, there are three losses this year. Two of them come to the favorites, or no, not the favorites, actually. Dallas Christian is not my favorite for D3, but come to basically the top teams in those divisions. Dallas Christian obviously being a top team in D3, First Baptist obviously being a top team in D4. Overall just an impressive season. What is that? That's four shutouts throughout the year, winning by 40 or more. Dallas Covenant as well. Shelton's had a great season as well, but for Dallas Covenant on that end, just really impressive for them this season. And overall, that's going to get my vote when it comes to this game. Overall, both teams have had a great season, and yeah, it's hard in D3 when you know what's coming eventually. But to kind of in a vacuum be able to do what they did is all you could ask for.
Definitely so. Jack Klosek, yet again, a 3-0 sweep thus far. I know obviously Taps, and especially not Taps D3 is your forte, but I'm sure you've got some opinions formed on this game. I'm curious to hear them.
Yeah, I picked this game as well. I'm going to take Covenant as well. First of all, I got to give a shout out to Shelton. That's a program that, like you mentioned, was a freelance team, was really, really struggling. And yes, they've played a very weak schedule. And McKinney Christian, Bishop Gorman, and All Saints are pretty poor programs at this point in time. And they've played kind of a ragtag group of freelance teams and home schools and charter schools that they've beaten pretty handily. But they played it tough with Pantego, which was respectable, but just getting absolutely destroyed by Dallas Christian, whereas Covenant kept that game close, much to my surprise. And Covenant kept it close with Covenant Christian out of Colleyville. And then they played First Baptist. Both teams have played pretty weak schedules and they have beaten a lot of weak teams. But at the same time, I think Covenant has a clear edge, just how they played a really top team like Dallas Christian, a team that's going to make it far in the D3 playoffs. Sorry, not to take away that. Now that doesn't take away that Shelton has taken monumental steps forward, and that's a program that may be on the rise. But I just think that Covenant is, ahead at this time.
Definitely so. I remember the days that Tyler Bishop Gorman sent kids to San Diego State and Navy and SMU, but those were in the long distant past. That program is not as good as they used to be, but Dallas Shelton, Dallas Covenant will be an interesting game, certainly. Let us move up a slot to Division Two, where we'll see two teams from Jack's neck of the woods face off, the Woodlands Christian Academy at Fort Bend Christian. Fort Bend is a 15.5 point favorite. Well, if you would have told me 3 weeks ago that this game was for a district title and it didn't involve Second Baptist, I would have called you an idiot. It still does actually, and it doesn't actually involve Second directly, but we'll get to that. To recap, as Walker said in the last episode, we're going to roll through the scenarios of the points and how this is going to affect the three teams and the district standings. With a Fort Bend Christian win or a TWCA win by 5 points or less, Fort Bend Christian takes first in the district, second takes second, and then the Woodlands takes third. If TWCA wins by six, Second Baptist is first, Fort Bend Christian is second, TWCA is third. If TWCA wins by 7 or 8 points, Second Baptist is first, the Woodlands Christian Academy is second, and TWCA or Fort Bend is third. And finally, the Woodlands basically has to win by 9 or more points to secure first in this district. And then second gets second, and Fort Bend gets third. I know that's a mouthful. Rewind it, watch it 3 times to understand. We might put a tweet out to say what needs to happen before the game to show it. As for the actual game, Santiago Fernandez has established himself as one of the best quarterbacks in TXPS, accounting for 35 touchdowns on the season, 10 of which have found star wideout Bo Ellis. Adding 6'2", 245 junior defensive lineman Prince Holiday and 6'4", 300-pound offensive lineman William Cook in the trenches, it's easy to see why TWCA is one of the top teams in the division. However, the only undefeated team left standing are the Eagles of Fort Bend. Fort Bend Christian is finally healthy and displayed it in a 34-28 win against Second. Keep in mind, this team got shut out by Tomball Christian Homeschool and only beat Kelly Catholic by 9 points. But a bunch of guys get healthy and the season changes. With junior Cole Whitten manning the ship at quarterback, Blake Hamilton burning out of the slot, and Tyler Curry doing everything else needed, these Eagles are a severe threat in Division II, and all the teams should be waking up to that. Sophomore defensive end Trace Holster has also been a force on the defensive line, amassing 7 sacks on the year. Ultimately, this game comes down to can Fort Bend stop Fernandez running the ball? He had 230 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground against TWCA in that big win, but only 66 yards in the loss to Second Baptist. And I think there's a good chance that they can. But I don't think they can limit Bo Ellis as well. Give me the Woodlands Christian Academy to win this game. Like I've said prior, if a team proved me wrong in a dramatic spot like Fort Bend did last week, it is very rarely that I'm going to pick against them the rest of the season. I kind of ride by a you proved me wrong, I'm going to ride with you until I get proved wrong by you again. I just like TWCA a lot. And I think this could be erring in my part by discounting Fort Bend by some of those performances earlier in the year when they didn't have all the guys. I just love Santiago Fernandez, dude. I think they are incredible prospects. Santi is a college player, and teams need to wake up to that. Walker got to see them live. Walker, I'm taking TWCA in this game. I'm very curious to see where you go because you were also very high on TWCA coming into the season, but Fort Bend is making it really hard to pick against them the way they've been playing.
Yeah, I've actually seen both these teams at different points in the seasons this year, first week and last week. And when you saw Fort Bend Christian first week against Liberty, oh, they look nowhere near what they are now. And TWCA has always kind of looked like this team, but recently they looked on fire. Both these teams are on fire going into this last week. You mentioned a lot of guys. I think I'm excited for the battle, which is Santiago Fernandez running the ball versus Nico Lara and that rest of that defense trying to stop him, right? Nico Lara is one heck of a linebacker. He has been all year. I think he's like the captain of the Fort Bend defense. Him and that defense have to stop him from using his legs, which is insanely hard to do. I texted the guys and I was like, I don't know how the guy has Santiago ranked, but it's too low. I think he's one of the top five 26 quarterbacks in state Texas, especially in TXPS. He is unreal. And when he has weapons around him, it just makes him even better, like Bo Ellis. For my pick, I'm picking TWCA, man. I don't know how you stop Santiago, especially in high school football. A lot comes down to quarterback play. Can your quarterback make plays? Can they extend them? Can they be impactful? And I think Santiago Fernandez is the definition of impactful. And I just don't think they can stop him. And give I think it's gonna be a close one. I think it's a 1-2 score game at the most, but give me TWCA.
Ryan Schroeder, this is one of the closer games I think we're picking on this episode. I'm very intrigued to hear your thoughts on this district title matchup.
So, when you were going through the list earlier, you said four Bend, like four, number four, and then you said third, and then you said Second Baptist, second, and I'm going back and forth. I'm like, I can't keep track of all this. So if anyone was lost out there, I'm quite the same, and I'm looking at it on a sheet to my right. So don't worry. But with that being said, Fort Bend, right, has been one of those teams, over the years that we've been covering made state championships that we've covered over the years. We have mob ties to guys like Brady Dever. If anyone knows that, they know. But overall, this is a team on the surface. If you see their four losses and you're like, oh my gosh, they didn't score in two of those games, overall just not looking that great of a season. He beat Cypress, which, and then you beat Lutheran South, and you beat Second Baptist. I mean, to fill the schedule would mean Woodlands Christian. But here's the thing, though. I live in this world where I think that you can only be so healthy to a certain point. And in my opinion, I think some things just come down to the fact that certain teams have experienced the full season to its true capabilities. And with that being said, I think Woodlands Christian has looked the best from what how I've watched them play this year. And I don't think a 6-point win over Second Baptist in Canton is going to change my mind right now. Because overall, no points scored on Liberty, no, 3 points on Cornerstone, a 9-point win over Kelly Catholic and Tomball Christian, no points on Tomball Christian. Like that still happened, right? So I don't know. In my opinion, you got to give me Woodlands Christian. I get that they're healthy now, but Woodlands Christian is my pick at this point.
I agree with you. We've seen a more complete product from TWCA where it's a lot on projections and ceilings with Fort Bend, which when they're healthy, they can certainly reach them. It's just taking that more established identity right now. Jack Klosek, we're all three on the same side yet again. This is one of the best games on the slate, not played in the SPC. I'm curious to hear your opinion.
So, the way that I think about this, when Kincaid beat Second Baptist in week five, I kind of had an inkling that Second Baptist was maybe not going to be as good as we thought. And talking with some people on the ground there and getting some information and seeing just, how weak their O-line was, I had a feeling that they may have had a that they maybe were going to have a slip in district, whether that be the Woodlands Christian or Fort Bend Christian. Now, they were able to stave off the Woodlands Christian, but they lost to Fort Bend Christian. I'm normally a big guy on momentum, and Fort Bend Christian has had a really hot hand. I mean, I've been losing that against that. I've been picking against them week in, week out. At the same time, as much as I want to ride the hot hand, I'm going to stick with you with all of you guys. I think that the Woodlands Christian is a more complete ball team. They played Second Baptist tough. They've gotten some big wins in non-district. They played, competitive non-district schedule, playing some smaller public schools. They played very tight with East Bernard, who's is a top 10 team in 3A, according to Dave Campbell's. I think that TWCA has a lot of good pieces. They've always kind of been on the precipice. I think they take care of it this time. Now, that's not to say that Fort Bend Christian or Second Baptist can't regroup in the playoffs. But I just think that, I keep going back to, as you guys do, that the Woodlands Christian has been a complete ball team kind of the whole year. And Fort Bend Christian, with all the injuries and, beating Second Baptist to losing to Liberty to losing to Pflugerville, and, losing to Tomball Christian, who I understand has taken some steps forward, but it's just been too sporadic for me. And as much as I want to ride the hot hand, I'm going to bet on the Woodlands Christian showing up as the complete product that they've been. And getting a long-awaited and very well-deserved district title.
We will see.
Hey,
That makes me incredibly
yeah,
nervous.
Wes, you know what the good old Brady Dever says about all going one way. So
He just said that again about second. I've never gotten that stipulation about TWCA, but yeah, that game scares me. Ryan Schroeder saying we had mob ties with Brady Dever made me laugh really hard, which in a way is true. It's still my favorite guy I've ever covered in the sport. But yet again, for TWCA to win district, they've got to win this game by 9 points. And I'm not going to go through the rest of the stipulations because that would make my brain spin. Just know for TWCA to win district, it's a 9-point win here or more. Moving on to the Jack Klosek portion of the show, we've got two fantastic games here. Both Walker and I will be live on the site for each. We will start for the game that I will be on site for in Bedford, Texas. Houston Christian versus TVS for the second straight week. Jack Klosek, I know you've been itching to talk about some title games. Here's your first shot. Your thoughts on this game?
So when Houston Christian started the year and you saw them lose to Lutheran South and you know, I was like, okay, has this team maybe taken a step back? And then, you know, I saw them play a little bit more competitive against St. John's. And then from there, you know, they maybe didn't beat as Pius by as much as we thought, but you know, they really took care of business in district. Now, they had hiccups against Green Hill, you know, just getting that done. You know, and they played TVS tight. What Coach Eisenman and that staff has have done to rescue that program from just, you know, 3 years ago when I was a senior in high school, when they were at the bottom of the barrel of SBC 4A, they, you know, because of enrollment, they chose to go down and they've really rebuilt that program. You know, everybody from Anderson Jones on the receiving side of things to Joseph Trickett on the defensive side of things, who's having a monster year. That team is a really complete team. Coach Webb calling the run and shoot offense. Coach CJ Brown, who we've talked about ad nauseum, my former coach, has really gotten their, you know, the secondary and the receiving core just improving their speed, you know, through the track and field component. Coach Dial on the offensive line has got those guys playing well. You know, that program does a lot of good things, not just in terms of football, but in terms of developing young men. And you know, also inspiring them through faith, and I think that's a beautiful thing as well. On the other hand, you know, Trinity Valley, the story was, you know, they lose. Oh my God, why am I blanking
Parkhurst.
on the names? They lose Parkhurst and they lose Jacob Maynard. Thank you. But they keep Ben Nagishu, who you know we saw in the Battle of Bryn Irvin played fantastic, and they have, you know, they lose Will Scott to graduation, but at the same time, you know, they had to claw and fight their way. Coach Morrison's bunch are fighters. You know, they get in at 4-2 off the tiebreaker. And you know, last year Trinity Valley won in, you know, in double or triple overtime. And as much as I love the fight and I love Coach Morrison's bunch, I'm going to take Houston Christian. This is the year they get it done. They get their first title, you know, in anything from, you know, from their Taps days to SPC. You know, that program talks about, Houston Christian talks about a revival, and they have certainly revived that program. I think this is the year they get it done. I think losing Parkhurst and Maynard, you know, has obviously hurt them and helped All Saints. But at the same time, I have full confidence that Houston Christian is going to get it done. And you know, and we'll see what happens. Should be a great game at HGB Stadium, where I believe the Trinity Trojans of Euless play. All of that to say, I have full confidence that the Mustangs will get their first title in a close game against Trinity Valley, but I think that the Mustangs get it done, guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna just come right out and say I'm gonna take Houston Christian in this game as well. I think in terms of a specific game to look at is that Oak Ridge game. Oak Ridge is a lot better than people would think without seeing them. And I say that from personal experience. I watched them play Green Hill last week. You think, oh, they beat Green Hill. Green Hill performed very well and had a shot to make an SBC title game out of that game. And with Cole Worthington. Any team that can shut out a team with Cole Worthington on it to a tune of 35 to nothing, like Houston Christian did, is going to have my vote. Another storyline I wanted to look at was Ben Nagishu got banged up around the third or fourth game of this season. He couldn't play in the game that I was at against Houston Christian when they played back in like week four or week six, excuse me. But I checked the box score. He's back now, rushing for 100 yards or so. From the Houston Christian side, I'm curious to see what they're going to do at quarterback because you've got two good guys in RJ Evans
Ron
and
Rice.
Ron Reese,
Yeah.
who both are good in their own right. They just bring different things to the table. That's kind of the minutiae of what I'm looking at. Overall, I mean, I think this is a Houston Christian win by 2 scores, providing that Ben Negishu doesn't go completely bananas. If Negishu is 100% with a groin injury, that's not a given, especially that's not something that might keep you out the whole season, but it stays with you until you have weeks and weeks to let it lay off. With the information I have available, I'm taking Houston Christian. I think an X factor in this game could be receiver Kirby Orth, who just started playing football this year. I talked about him, on my recap and how much he impressed me. Combine him with guys like Mallory and the other receivers they got. I mean, it's too much talent, in my opinion. I also think TVS isn't quite as proven at quarterback, especially losing Parkhurst, who you game plan for pretty much to be the quarterback for the season. He bolts for All Saints. I like Houston Christian. I'm going to take them. I'm not going to think twice about it. Walker Lot, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to your point about Ben Negushu, and this is kind of how it's going to sway my pick. I'm going to go Houston Christian, really because of what you said about Ben. Even though he is back and he is back from injury, a groin injury does not, it's not just healed. It's going to stay with you. And so because of that reason, if you don't have 100% Ben Negushu, it just scares me for this game. And I know it was close last time, but Houston Christian came out with the win, and I think they get the revenge in the title game again. And yeah, I'm gonna go with the Mustangs in this one. Ryan.
Ryan Schroeder.
I mean, TVS is one of the teams that apparently are on my docket to hate. So, I mean, do I continue the muscle now? I mean, do I continue to hate on TVS now? Do I continue to tell you that they're a bad team? I told you for a while all season that I thought TVS would not make the SBC championship, and now we're sitting here and TVS has made the SBC championship somehow, some way. They have figured it out once again. And I seriously thought, and to give credit where credit is due, I seriously thought with the injuries this year, with Parkhurst leaving at the beginning of the season, I mean, everything I think went wrong for them that could have gone wrong. But they're still here. So I have to give credit for that. And the last time they played, they only lost by 10. So that would in turn make me wrong about TVS's entire season. But the one thing I wasn't wrong about was them not winning the SBC 3A title. So giving me Houston Christian here, I have them definitely the favorite all year long, been the favorite, and they're going to win the SBC 3A.
I agree with that. The only thing that would make me tentative is that game against Green Hill is a red flag. But I got word from guys on the ground that was an odd affair. There were a ton of penalties, which it's coming from Houston Christian, so they're going to say as much as possible to make it seem like it shouldn't have been close. So take everything with a grain of salt, but we're giving you the information that we have. And for the fourth time in this episode, all four of us are taking a clean sweep. We will see if that reigns true when we move down south to the University of Houston, where Walker Lott will be covering Kincaid versus EHS for the third straight time. And every matchup since 2016, barring one. Jack Klosik can speak more on that. Jack, we penciled these two teams in at the beginning of the season, and I guess since we know ball, we're correct because they're back in the state title game. I think anyone that follows ball could have told you that, but we'll give ourselves some credit. Your thoughts on the Falcons and the Knights?
So, Episcopal has really done a lot with, with losing a lot. Losing Carson Gordon to graduation, losing Tyler Blomgren to injury. Brody Barthe has stepped up in a way that I didn't think was possible. Their receiving core is really solid. DJ Taylor, who has had a tremendous season. Cesarski and Madden Morgan have played extremely well. Madden Morgan's younger brother, and I'm blanking on his first name, has
Deacon.
also Deacon, had a huge interception against Kincaid. They have three losses, and one in a very tight game to Kincaid, which we'll get to in a moment, losing to Parrish, which and then losing to West Orange Stark, who's a top four UIL team. They've gotten couple weeks to get their minds right. They got St. Mark's and John Cooper after losing to Kincaid. And those are games that allow you to work on things, to try new things, to get a lot of guys in, to get guys reps. And they certainly took care of business in those games. As good as Kincaid has done being 9-1, I did not see them, you know, after losing to Gunter in a respectable, you know, losing to them by 10 points or so, winning 9 straight games in a relatively tough non-conference, and then, you know, beating St. John's by 2 points and beating Episcopal by 2 points. You know, Episcopal beat St. John's by 3 points, and then Kincaid beat St. John's by 3 points and Episcopal by 2 points. There is so much parity in this league. But Wayne Shanks has really been the X factor. Brandon Thomas, you know, has had a very nice season for Episcopal as well. But Wayne Shanks, with his ability, you know, on special teams, obviously in the rushing game, but also coming out, you know, either in the slot or coming out of the backfield, getting the running back vertical in the passing game, has been an X factor. Jordan Manuel, as we saw with the game-winning touchdown and the game-winning pick, Kincaid's got guys going both ways. That has been huge. And Kincaid really has a solid offensive line this year. The transfer of Sam Griggs has been big. Topher Carlson recently committed to Johns Hopkins. Jackson Staley recently committed on the defensive line, just committed to Wash U in St. Louis. Henry McFall in the interior has played well. Kincaid's defense, led by Coach Larned, has been a force for several years now and has kept Kincaid in games. And I fully expect Kincaid to run that Wildcat, that single wing package to Wayne, maybe give a couple hands off to Cooper Chambers. And they're probably going to chew clock, not spend too much time in the passing game. And I think Kincaid's defense, you know, when tested, has stood, you know, the test this throughout this year. They've beaten Regents, they've beaten Episcopal. St. Thomas is down, but they've beaten them. They beat Second Baptist, destroyed Episcopal School of Dallas, and got two very gritty wins against Episcopal and St. John's. When Kincaid, since Coach Larned has taken over, which was in 2013, Kincaid has only beat Episcopal in the regular season twice, that being in 2013 and 2021 before this year. And in each of those years, Kincaid won SPC. Now, that doesn't, you know, mean a whole lot, but it's an interesting statistic. It is very tough to beat a team twice. But Kincaid's defensive line and offensive line have led the way all year. And I think that Kincaid will avenge last year's loss and get a win. I think that they have 9 straight wins. They've stood the test. They had to win a gutsy game last week, whereas Episcopal has kind of been in cruise control against lesser teams. And I just think Episcopal doesn't have the spark that they did last year. They don't have Billy Wheelis. They don't have Cullen Witt. They don't have Carson Gordon. And then Kincaid brings in a guy like Wayne Shanks to, you know, counter a Brandon Thomas, improves their offensive line, whereas, you know, Episcopal's offensive line understandably regresses. I think that Episcopal has a lot of good pieces still, and they're not to be underestimated, but I think Kincaid gets it done.
For all those points, I will keep my preview brief. Hopefully, my camera will focus. I think you can see that picture from 2022. That was shortly before Micah Bell asked, "What is this dude doing in the picture?" And I quickly exited frame. All that to say, there have been several times in this program that Kincaid has played a team like Episcopal, and I have bet against them. I've learned to no longer do that, especially for the reason that Jack said, and then the skill guys like Jordan Manuel and Wayne Shanks, and then David Capobianco getting the ball. I just think, like you said, there's too much turnover for EHS. I think even in a game where EHS has more talent, I love Kincaid's scheme, and their defense always just drags you into the deep water. And I think those skill positions are even more even than they have been in prior years. All those signs point to Kincaid. I don't bet against the Falcons in the playoffs. I will not in this spot give me the Kincaid school Walker.
You know, I've always been the guy that goes the opposite way in these two situations. I've always rided with the Knights. Last year, the year before, it's always been me and EHS together forever. I did it during the regular season. I picked Episcopal, and again, didn't go that way. You know, I got this hat last year at the state title game for picking a Bel Air. It's a great hat. And am I gonna do it again? No, I am not. I'm gonna pick Kincaid. I'm not gonna wear the hat. I'm gonna pick Kincaid in this one. You know, It hurts. It hurts me to say it because, you know, the Knights have done so good to me. They got our guy, Mr. Evans, the A&M long snapper commit on our side. You know, we Giga Maggies. I truly think, by the way, Brody Barti is electric. I think he's a top five, maybe top three, maybe number one quarterback in 27 in TXPS. That kid is legit. They truly have something
Absolutely.
special in him. Barti, Oregon, DJ Taylor, they have dudes. This is
Barty
gonna,
to Barty.
yeah, this game, like, this is gonna come down to a field goal type game, in my opinion. I think we're in
Yes.
for a great one. Last year in this game, Carson Gordon and Brandon Thomas were difference makers. They kind of won the game for them, and also a couple turnovers for Kincaid, and the defense for EHS played really, really well. I don't I th and think not having a Braylon Thompson, I think not having a Carson Gordon is going to hurt them in this kind of big time game. And I agree with you, Jack. I think Wayne Shanks is going to be truly the difference maker in this one. And a game like this, where you saw it last year, where future UCLA quarterback Carson Gordon from the first snap of the game took over, you need a difference maker to win a title game. You just do. And I'm not saying they don't have that. I think Brandon Thomas can be that. I think Brody Barti can become that. Is he it now? That's a great question. He was in the St. John's game, you know. He's done it all year. But I think proven Wayne Shanks and Jordan Manuel are going to change this game in their favor. You saw it in the St. John's game. You saw it in other games this season, and like the Second Baptist game and others, right? Where those two cats just somehow found a way to score. And I think that continues to happen for Kincaid in this one. I'm very excited. Like I said, I think this is a 3-point, I think this is a field goal type of game. But I think Kincaid, you don't see Kincaid like they were last year often in the state game. I think they don't repeat it. I think they win this one. Yeah, go Falcons.
Mr. Schroeder.
Oh my goodness. I've been high on Kincaid all year long. And of course, my microphone stand's trying to cut out on me right now. Oh my goodness. Okay. I've been high on Kincaid all year long. I mean, I've said it since week one with the Gunter game and stuff. I said I think this team is going to be really good with how they played against Gunter. And then all I've heard all year long is how good Wayne Shanks is and how good of an impactful player he has been this entire time. If y'all didn't know this already, the two games Wayne Shanks didn't score a rushing touchdown in were against Gunter in the last EHS game, which meant that in that Gunter game, they held him to 24 yards rushing, which is
Wow.
incredible, which is insane. And then in that Episcopal game, they held him to 85 yards rushing. But he had 26 carries in that game, which means that he was being stopped, right? The EHS defense truly was stopping him. Well, let's flip the script, though. He still caught four catches for 126 yards and two touchdowns. He scored the only two touchdowns in that game against EHS. The game plan has to shift, right? This entire year, you're running, I mean, he's running an average of, call it 25 plus rushes a game, right? They're putting the ball in Wayne Shanks' hands 25 plus times a game. In that sphere, EHS has figured them out in that capacity. They know how to stop him on the run, and they know that they need to force the pass in order. And then if Kincaid wants it, Capo Bianco has to be the one that has to make the play to Wayne Shanks for him to be that difference maker. EHS has the script. They tried to go with it the first time, and they didn't execute. They fell short by 2 points. To think that they could execute on that is very likely. You know, they have figured it out more than anyone else has besides Gunster this year. But here's the thing though. Kincaid has proven it to me about of all the teams they played this year. We forget the fact that they played Regents and won beat Regents by 18 points. You know, a lot of these games are not close on Kincaid's schedule this year. And with that being said, you got to give me Kincaid. Kincaid is a top two team in TXPS this year, top three team in TXPS this year. And they've truly proved it all year long.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would ride with that. And in a year where there's a
bunch of good teams. I think Kincaid could go into Taps D1 and make a lot of
Yeah.
noise. But that being said, that for I don't know how many times this has happened on this episode, and maybe it's a Scorigami, but all four of us have taken the same team in the five games of the week, which only leaves room for stark embarrassment on our parts. But that's why we do the show, so people can chirp us. All kidding aside, one of the biggest weeks of the season. It's always fun to see the absolute chaos that consumes the SPC throughout the regular season finally play out in its final week. As always, Walker and I will be on site at both of these games, and Jack Klosek will be in our ear trying to figure out what happened. And we will bring you live coverage as well as the recap episode next week to say what happened. But that wraps up all of our analysis for this episode. Jack Klosek, I will give you final word on the show as you are our privileged guest. Fantastic week, mostly because of the SPC action. Number one, thank you for coming on. Number two, any closing comments regarding the slate?
First of all, thank you guys for having me. It's been another great year. I will try to keep popping in on spaces for Taps playoffs and keeping you guys updated with scores, as has kind of been my role. But this is now, my third year. Super, super happy to be a part of this team and this community. Again, it's about giving back. Kincaid football gave a lot to me, just as I know Southwest Christian football and Grace Community football gave a lot to you guys, to you, Walker and Wes. And this is my way of giving back, of highlighting those athletes. I'm very grateful to have played for Kincaid, and I'm excited to hopefully see them get another title. But all that aside, there's so much parity in SPC 4A, and there's becoming even more parity in SPC 3A, and that's what I truly love to see. Yeah, it was, Kincaid and Episcopal used to have maybe, more talented teams or more recruited teams, and that's subject to debate. But the fact that, a St. Mark's can, keep it close with Kincaid or play well against St. John's, that Oak Ridge was taking step forwards, that Green Hill, who had lost, 20 plus games, was a win away from a playoff game, just shows how much that league has moved forward. And that's an awesome thing. It's great when teams, improve when they come out of the, dark ages or being at the basement of a league. Houston Christian's a shining example of that. It should be an awesome week. I think these games are pretty evenly matched. I think there's, like I said, a lot of parity. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to watching, and I'm looking forward to watching a great slate in the week 11 of Taps as well. So, as always, I'm grateful to be a part of this program. It's about the guys who put on the uniform, and I'm looking forward to watching along and giving analysis.
Absolutely, it is. We love your input. Truly a treat to have somebody that consumes as much SBC football as you do to come give your expert analysis on the program. Thank you, as always, Jack. For the rest of us on the program, I have been Wes Tolleson, one third of your hosting crew. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. Jack Klosek, thank you again for coming on the program. We will see you in the Week 11 review hitting your feed this Monday afternoon. Have a good week.